you know, the Adrianus didn't let Jews to come to Jerusalem, the city, after 132, the date of 132. The Christian legend translated this event of not letting Jews to come to Israel to a concept of a people that was punished by God because this people is responsible for the death of the Son of God. This is a Christian legend on the basis of the exile, not a Jewish one. You understand me?
Yeah. A partire dai tempi di Adriano, che ha vietato nel 183 il ritorno, la presenza degli ebrei a Gerusalemme, la leggenda cristiana come si dice? Spiega questa cosa come punizione al popolo ebraico che ha ucciso il figlio di Dio. È una punizione divina perché è stato ucciso il figlio di Dio.
The Jewishness and Jew are not concurrent. They came from Palestine, from Judea. They come in from Jerusalem. You understand? The philosophy, basically, philosophy of Christianity that invented the exile of the Jew as a punishment. Now, my thesis, when I started to work on it, is that the exile of the Jew by the Roman didn't happen, never happened. I have one proof. You know what is the proof? Yeah. A very simple one. One proof.
E sostiene che in pratica la sua tesi che in pratica l'esilio degli ebrei non è mai esistito.
The Roman didn't exile the population, only slaves. Now, what
solo is gli schiavi sono stati esiliati.
You are not the Romans, you are Italians. Now, what is important to understand that the invention of the exile is a Christian one, not a Jewish one. First of all, the proof. You can imagine that there is not even one research book about the exile.
Non c'è neanche una ricerca sull'esilio.
One.
Sulle.
You can imagine.
No one.
A book about the exile of the Jews from Palestine in 70 or 132, the two revolt of the jealous and after it of Bar Kokhba. Even one book. It's a proof. Why it's a proof? Because I'm living in the University of Tel Aviv that you have a very, very large library. In every community of Bukovina, Varsha, Lodz, you have a doctorate or a master. One book about the exile? It's a proof? There is a new book that was published a few years ago, has a reaction to my book, but even this book that tried to contradict the things that I said, they didn't dare, somebody that is not a researcher, academic at all. They say how the majority of the Jewishness disappeared in Palestine, but they didn't try to explain exile. There is not any exile. The first exile in Palestine happened in 1948.
In pratica, all'Università di Tel Aviv si può trovare tesi di laurea, ricerche, qualsiasi cosa piccola sulla comunità ebraica in Russia, in Polonia, qualsiasi posto, ma non sull'esilio degli ebrei. C'è stato un tentativo di rispondere alle sue ricerche da parte di qualcuno, ma non era una ricerca scientifica. E l'unico esilio che sono stato, è stato l'esodo, non so come tradurre, che è stato fatto in Palestina è stato fatto nel 1948, intende i palestinesi.
When I was young, leftist, as I told you, revolutionary, I believe that the Jewish people was exiled from Palestine in 70 or 130. I was sure, like all the leftists around me. We were sure. I didn't justify because of it the Zionist colonization. Because I say, after 2,000 years, we cannot move back and take the Palestine from the Palestinians because 2,000 years ago. This was our position. There is not a justification because we will build a madhouse with the world if we will try to fix it like it was 2,000 years ago. You understand me?
Quando era giovane di sinistra e attivo, non metteva in dubbio il fatto dell'esilio e della cacciata degli ebrei dalla Palestina. Questo non giustificava l'operato del movimento sionista, che non si può venire dopo 2000 anni, 3000 anni e dire adesso torniamo e cacciamo via gli altri che sono lì.
I finished the first chapter in my book about the Bible has a mythic history, and I tried to find books about the exile. I went to the library. I spent a few hours. I didn't find even one book. Mm. I went back to the faculty, and I was looking for a specialist of Jewish antiquity. And I asked them, can you propose me books about the exile? I remember the first one smiling at me, say, I never wrote nothing about the exile. Mm. I say, why? He look at me like, I say, sorry, he was a friend. We can go out to the corridor and ask the first student that we will meet if the exile happened. Everybody will answer yes. And you are smiling and saying to me that you never wrote a book about it. Yeah. He smiled. I went to another specialist of the Jewish antiquity and I asked him. He not only smiled, he laughed at me. Yeah. One book. You can imagine it. Then I discovered a little article that somebody wrote a few years ago that say that the myth of exile is a Christian invention. Yeah. Now, what is important to understand that with the starting of the modernity, we can find in the Protestant tradition, you know, the Protestant are going back to the Bible much more than the Catholic. They took it seriously, the Bible, not like you. I'm joking, yes?
In pratica, in due parole, quando ha finito di scrivere il primo capitolo del suo libro, che è sulla Bibbia, voleva cercare materiali e documentazioni sull'esodo, sull'esilio di libri. Non ha trovato, è andato dal primo specialista, è andato dal secondo specialista, non ha trovato libri. E si chiede a qualsiasi studente, se esce dalla biblioteca o dalla libreria, chiede al primo studente, nessuno mette in dubbio questo fatto. Però trovare una documentazione che testimonia questi fatti non è facile trovare. Adesso poi.
You understand what I say? That the basic of the concept of Zionism is Christian, first of all, because in the 19th century, in the middle of the 19th century, Zionism, or the beginning of the pre-Zionism, started to invent the history of the Jew as a history of a people. They took the models from the Protestant, from the English Protestant. And we can find from the 17th century the description of the Protestant of the Jews as a people, ancient people, very important. But this is very, very Protestant. And it's developed much more in the 18th century and after it in the 19th century. Yeah. There is a book that I wrote.
Shlomo. nel XIX secolo, all'inizio del movimento sionista, si inizia a scrivere la storia ebraica come se storia di un popolo, e vengono influenzati dal protestantesimo, soprattutto quello britannico.
I wrote a book after the invention of the Jewish people. I wrote a book, The Invention of the Land of Israel. Unfortunately, the Italian wasn't interested in this book until now. It doesn't exist in Italian. This book.
Dopo aver scritto L'invenzione del popolo ebraico, ha scritto un altro libro, L'invenzione della terra di Israele. Purtroppo le case editrici italiane non sono state interessate a tradurre questo libro in italiano.
In this book I try to, there is two chapters that I dealing how the evangelist in before it Puritan invented the land of Israel as the homeland of the Jews. We have to understand that never in the history Palestine, Judea, the land of Israel wasn't the homeland of the Jews. Never in the religion. How we say it? I try to develop and to explain the concept of the homeland, the modern concept of the homeland. The Jewishness didn't have it. And who started it as a concept for the Jew was the English Protestant and after the evangelist. By the way, till now, the evangelists are very, very stick with this concept. Till now. Yeah.
Concetto della terra di Israele è stato inventato dagli evangelisti, dai puritani, dal protestantesimo britannico, come Israele, come terra degli ebrei. E anche oggi possiamo vedere questo legame tra il protestantesimo e il sionismo.
I was thinking if I'm not crazy, really, how come the concept of the Jew is combined with exile in any Christian consciousness? It's true. Also in the Zionism, all the justification of colonization came from the fact that we were exiled. Today in the aeroplane, I was sitting besides two Israelis in the 50s. And very quickly they discover who I am, and we started to discuss. And when I deal with the question of exile, they were shocked. You know, they become very weak in face of the colonization. If it wasn't our homeland, how come? If the Jewish were not exiled, two questions jumped in my mind. First of all, what happened with the population in Palestine? Second question, how come that there are so many Jews in the world?
Chiaramente bisogna chiedere due domande. Se l'esilio non è mai stato, cosa è successo con la popolazione che era lì in Palestina? Come mai così tanti ebrei sono poi venuti ad insediarsi in quella terra? E si sparse
Then my book in my book I found that David Ben Gurion and a lot of other Zionists in the beginning of the 20th century were sure that the Palestinian peasant are the descendant of the ancient Jew, and I put it forward in the book. David Ben Gurion, the founder of the Israeli state, believed in 1918 that the peasant, Arab peasant, in Palestine are the real descendant of the Jews. He wrote it in 1918 with the Ben Tzvi that became the president of the State of Israel, the two of them, and they were not the only one. Okay. Because in 1918, people continue to believe that the Palestinian peasants are the real descendant, because if the exile didn't happen, they become Muslims. And I try to explain the book. They become Christian in the first phase, and after it, most of them become Muslims. By the way, you know why it was so easy to become Muslim for the Jews? Because the Islam is much closer to Judaism than Christianity, first of all. And the second one, the second reason, the first wave of the Islamization, the Islam proposed everybody that converted to Islam will be free from taxes. Yeah, in the first fight of the Muslims, they gave this privilege. Everybody that became Muslims was free of taxes. Imagine how many Italians can become Islamic if they will become free from taxes. A lot of Israelians also. No, it's not a joke. You can see it even in the Wikipedia. The Islam proposed to everybody that become. I believe the ancient Jews were very normal, and they become Muslims.
Spero di non dimenticare.
You will not like maybe the fact that he is, his ancient parents are maybe much more Jew than my parents.
E spero di non dimenticare niente. In pratica, torniamo alla prima domanda: che fine ha fatto la popolazione indigena della Palestina? Ben Zvi, che è stato il secondo presidente di Israele, e Ben Gurion è stato primo ministro israeliano per 15 anni, hanno sostenuto che in pratica i palestinesi sono discendenti dagli ebrei, si sono convertiti col tempo al cristianesimo come tanti, poi quando l'Islam è entrato in quella terra sono convertiti all'Islam. C'è una tesi perché questo è avvenuto. La prima è la vicinanza teologica tra l'Islam e l'ebraismo, a differenza del cristianesimo, che è molto differente. La seconda è in pratica questione di tasse. Gli ebrei che si sono convertiti all'Islam erano esenti dal pagare tanti tasse.
Now you understand why the Zionists don't like me. I'm not joking. I make like Napoleon, I make, I would say it in military terms. You understand? I see that all my friends continue to write about the Nakba. It was very important. And I remember thinking to write also something about the Nakba. I wrote in the second book, I wrote about the place that I'm living. What happened with the place where I live and work, the Tel Aviv University. I wrote a chapter about this. But then I decided at the beginning to go, back to the exile and ask first questions that nobody asked. And this is the reason that people were interested with this stuff that I wrote. Not because I have talent, but I have courage, intellectual courage. I am not laughing. My book, in the end, are not very sophisticated, I think. Here and there is something difficult, but generally, I try to ask basic questions. And sometimes, these basic questions are important. The second question is why there is so many Jews. Then I try to answer to this question. Judaism was the first proselytic monotheism. Contrary to Tutle's thought about Judaism, Judaism was the first proselytic monotheism. And I try to show it from the second century before Jesus Christ. Judaism became proselytic. Okay. Ma? Proselytic è megayer, megayer.
Converte.
The first religion that wanted to convert all the world was Judaism. But you have to understand what happened also, that later, with the Christian domination for the fourth century, the punishment, you know, the Christian let Jews to live between them in condition not to convert nobody. From the Constantinus, the punishment of conversion to Judaism was death. Death.
I cristiani hanno lasciato gli ebrei vivere tra di loro a condizione di non convertire, di non cercare di convertire la religione degli altri. La punizione era la pena di morte.
I try to prove that most of the Roman historians, Latin Roman historians, were against Judaism not because it was a other religion, not at all. Livius they wrote against Judaism, not against the religion. They wrote against the desire of the Jews to convert everybody in the Roman Empire. Clearly, I put quotes, a lot of quotes, of most of the historian, Roman historians about Judaism. It was against conversion.
Quindi la posizione dei romani contro gli ebrei non era contro la religione ebraica, ma contro l'operato degli ebrei di cercare di convertire la religione della gente.
But Judaism succeeded to convert kingdoms, not only the Khazar kingdom. You heard about the Khazar?
Gli ebrei sono riusciti a convertire la religione di regni, non solo il regno dei Khazari, che è in pratica la zona del Mar Caspio, nel Caucaso.
There is four or five Jewish kingdom, converted kingdom.
C'erano 5-6 regni convertiti all'ebraismo.
The Khazar in the Caucasus, between Caucasus and Ukraine. The Khemyar in Yemen. Yemen? Khemyar, Jewish kingdom in the 5th century. Nobody is studying it in Israel. A kingdom that was 138 years, Jewish kingdom. And I ask my student.
Oltre ai Khazari, anche nello Yemen c'era un regno convertito all'ebraismo.
Laughing, I ask my beautiful students, how come did they have hair frisé? How we say frisé? The
riccio.
Beautiful
riccio.
Black riccio. I ask if it's come from the wind from the Red Sea, or it's because they are Yemen. Like the neighbors, Muslims, neighbors that living besides for years and years. Anyway, four or five Jewish kingdoms. You can imagine nobody knows about it. Okay, I was putting it in the book, and this is the reason that I think that Hobsbawm phrased the book as one of the important books that he read in his life. From these details that I put forward about understanding differently the Judaism. Judaism became isolated because the pressure of Christianity. You understand? Jews were afraid to convert.
Gli ebrei sono stati isolati perché erano avevano paura dai cristiani.
You understand in the end that he is much more Jew than me? This is the logic of the history. No, it's a joke. Nobody is, you know, a pure Jew, even not him. Okay, but the chance that he was from a descendant of this ancient Hebrew, it's very, very strong. But, you know, everybody that conquered the land left his sperm there. Then everybody is mixed in the world. Even Yunus is a mixer of a lot of things.
In pratica sta scherzando, dice in pratica c'è più possibilità che io sia discendente dagli ebrei che non lui che viene dalla Polonia.
Questions or we finish? By the way, I hope that nobody here will come tomorrow, okay?
Marco, vuoi dire qualcosa? Dopo ti riservi per domani. Ti riservi le domande per domani?
Oh, I will.
Vabbè, è stato un...
And you go. I have one more question.
Ah, eccolo.
No, prego, il signore, via.
No,
allora, sì, volevo dire una cosa. Che sono stupito di questa ignoranza della storia del sionismo che c'è in Israele, che si spiega, perché anche quanto ha raccontato lui adesso, se uno si legge cose molto specialistiche, ma come il Poliakov, la storia dell'antisemitismo, sono spiegate tutte, cioè su come si è formata la popolazione ebraica, è una cosa nota. Volevo sapere da lui, però la cosa che a me incuriosiva capire questo, libri come il suo sull'invenzione di Israele o libri come Vittime di Morris o La pulizia etnica della Palestina di Pappé, come sono vissuti in Israele? Sono letti, sono rigettati? Abbiamo un atteggiamento che è quello di difficoltà per la vita di terrore che c'è all'interno di Israele, o c'è una vita di una percezione come onnipotenza che possono fare tutto quello che vogliono?
A general boycott in the university. Boycott? Completely. Total. Even not a riposte. But the Israeli media, TV, opened all the doors for me. They started to invite me to in the TV, and it's become a bestseller. 21 weeks it was in the list of the bestseller in Israel. You understand?
Yeah.
21 weeks. In the list of the bestseller, this book. You see, it's very strange, the Israeli society. You understand? Boycott of all the specialists, they couldn't answer me. And it's clear, because if I'm right, they are producing garbage. Then I understand them.
È chiaro? In pratica è stato boicottato dai professionisti, dagli accademici, dai colleghi, perché se quello che dice è corretto, allora loro producono spazzatura in pratica. E quindi la reazione è stata forte. E la televisione israeliana invece aveva una reazione diversa, l'hanno inventato a diversi dibattiti o programmi televisivi, è diventato molto famoso e per 21 settimane il suo libro è stato bestseller.
got a lot of letters from from Israeli, not Israeli. It's 10 years that the book was published. It was published in 2008. 10 years that I continue to get letters from a lot of people, mm-hmm. Orthodox Jews, Christian, prêtre, military people. You know, a day before yesterday, 10 years after, I got a letter from Nezira. I'm tired a little bit. Nezira.
Una sorella.
Russian. Russian sorella living in Jerusalem. She wrote me a day before yesterday a letter. She read the book only now. She's from Jewish origin that became Christian and became a Nezira. No, monk. Really, it's in French. I cannot read it, but it's a wonderful letter. A day before yesterday, it's helped me a lot, you know. It's helped me a lot.
In due parole, in pratica, sono 10 anni che riceve lettere da israeliani, da non israeliani, da ultraortodossi israeliani, da cristiani, da suore, da gente militare, tante lettere, che anche l'altro giorno ha ricevuto una lettera da una suora di origine ebraica che è convertita al cristianesimo, adesso fa la volontaria in Palestina, che le ha mandato una lettera 2-3 giorni fa.
One of the letters I have to tell you was from an old American from Jewish origin. He wrote me a letter. It was 6 years ago, I think. Hershenberg. I don't know him. 80 years old. He said, thank you very much for the gift of my holiday of the 80s. Of the 80s. Thank you. After reading your book, I feel normal. I am from Jewish origin, but like everybody around me. Not special at all. And then he say, I'm a psychiatrist. I'm psychologist. If your book would appeared 40 years ago, I'm sure that I had much less patient. Yeah. This is one of the nicest letters that I got. Another letter.
Un anziano ebreo americano gli ha mandato una lettera, grazie per questo libro per il suo 80° compleanno, e dice se avesse avuto questo libro 40 anni fa avrei avuto molto meno pazienti. In pratica dice che il libro mi ha fatto sentire una persona normale come tutte le altre e non molto speciale come la vivono gli ebrei in pratica.
After I published the third book in the trilogy, How I Stopped to be a Jew, I got a letter from a woman living in Paris.
Quando ha scritto il terzo libro, perché ha smesso di definirsi ebreo, ha ricevuto una lettera da una donna di Parigi.
She didn't propose me marriage, but she said that she is not reading books. She is from Tunisian origin, Maghrebian, living in Paris. She is divorced with a son. I passed in the street, I seen the vitrine, the little book, How I Stopped to be a Jew. I came in and I bought the book.
Donna che non legge libri, di origine maghrebina tunisina, divorziata con un figlio, ha visto il libro nella vetrina e ha preso una copia.
I read the book. You have to know that I fall in love with the Breton. No, but not Breton, Bretoni. From Britain. In France.
La Isora Mahos Brittany?
Ken. I fall in love with somebody from Britain, not Jew. And I didn't let myself till now. After reading your book, I decided to be with him. It's not nice.
Si è innamorata di uno della zona degli Brittoni e dopo aver letto il libro ha deciso di andare con lui.
I have the letter with the address, with the name.
Non ho capito il nessuno.
I don't know. I think that getting a letter like this is so nice for a writer. You don't believe in it? For a writer to feel something like this. Maybe she is divorced now again, I don't know, you see. But she say, after reading the book, I decided to be with him. I mean, all the problematic, I'm a Jew, she was raised in a traditional Jewish family. You have to understand the difficulty to marry the non-Jew. You understand it, no? Yeah. Then,
normalmente la donna ebrea ha difficoltà di sposare un uomo non ebreo perché i figli poi seguono la mamma.
Voilà.
In quali paesi?
Ah, you wanted to ask.
In quali paesi è stato detto?
הספר איך הפסקתי להגדיר את עצמי יהודי לאיזה שפות תורגם?
פרנצ'זי, אנגליזי, ספניולי, איטליה. No, the second one wasn't translated to English. The first one was translated to 21 languages. Japanese, Chinese, Korean, Slovenian, Bulgar. The second one was translated 13. Only 13, Italian didn't translate it. The third one was translated to 14, 15 languages. And the most important book that I wrote about history, nobody wanted to read it.
If I understand correctly your work, you are undercutting, you are undermining all the cultural legitimation of Israel as
I didn't answer you the most important question that you put forward, sorry, about the legitimation of the existence of Israel.
Yes, I'm coming back to this question. If I have two more questions. If I understand correctly your work, you are undercutting all the legitimations of, from a cultural point of view, of the Jewish state, of the state of Israel. But this is a work on culture, let's say on myth, on historical reconstruction, legitimizing Israel, and, as you said, colonization. But now, what is more troubling is the fact that we have a new kind of legitimation of nationalism. I saw some historical and anthropological studies about the Basque nationalism. There is a kind of genetic legitimation of nationalism. We come from the blood of these inhabitants. Who cares where they live today? But we are sure from genetic tests that our fathers were Basques. And so this kind of, let's say, postmodern nationalism, genetic nationalism, so my question would be, is there a kind of, there is also in Israel, is there also in Israel this kind of new nationalism? So we are Jew as far as we are the nephew, wonderful, the genetic nephews, wonderful, are. This was my first question. Second question, just to continue on the discussion, I like to contradict, and so.
No, no, sure.
What about Flavius Giuseppe and the Bello Judaico? I mean, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in 70. So we have an historian, we have an historical reconstruction in the Bello Judaico. Hmm? So the war.
The Bello Judaico, what is it?
The Jewish war by the Roman historian. And so Masada was destroyed in some way, we don't like it, by the Roman armies. So I know perfectly how Masada became a myth in Israel. I know that all the new people in the army have to take an oath in Masada. I know perfectly this. But I was wondering how you account for, let's say, this part of Roman history, let's say, of Roman colonization of Israel. There is no connection in your thesis, there is no connection between this kind of Roman colonization of Israel and the exile, if I correctly understood.
Okay. First of all, I have to explain something that you put forward, very important, about the justification of the existence of...
I have to translate...
No, I will explain it.
No, I have to translate my question.
Yes.
Due domande. Shlomo Sand fa un'opera estremamente meritoria di distruzione di tutte le legittimazioni da un punto di vista culturale dello Stato di Israele. Gli chiedevo se però il nazionalismo adesso viene giustificato, ho presente alcuni studi per esempio sul nazionalismo basco, non più da un punto di vista culturale, le nostre tradizioni, la nostra religione, eccetera, ma da un punto di vista genetico. Si fanno i test genetici e si dice io derivo da questo. Allora gli chiedevo qualche cosa su questa nuova legittimazione del nazionalismo. E secondo una delle sue tesi è non c'è stato l'esilio, eccetera. Gli chiedevo di approfondire il problema di Giuseppe Flavio, cioè la distruzione del Tempio del 70 d.C. Abbiamo una ricostruzione storica, quella di Giuseppe Flavio nella guerra giudaica, c'è stata poi la distruzione di Masada, ecco. Lasciamo perdere che cosa è oggi Masada come mito per Israele, però gli chiedevo di dar conto meglio della colonizzazione, del nesso tra la colonizzazione romana e la non esistenza dell'esilio. To you, sir.
I don't know from what to start, from the political question that you put forward.
I prefer the political question.
Now, my positions from the time that I was Matzpen, a leftist, young revolutionary, I wasn't against putting in question the existence of the State of Israel. But the legitimation in our position of the Israeli state is not because there is historical justification, and even not because of the Shoah, the genocide of the Nazis, but from a simple fact that it was created like Australia, like United States, as a product of colonization, that any change of it could create new tragedies. Then the position was clear. Jewish didn't have any right about this land, but the colonization created a society, a culture, a people even. And then we accept it. Yeah. But last remark, it doesn't mean that we accept the Zionist state. What is the meaning of Zionist state? That the state belongs to the Jews, not to the Israelis. You understand me? We wanted a democracy that belonged to all the Israeli citizens. When the state is looking on the society, he sees only citizens, not Jews or Arabs, as a principle. Then we were for the de-Zionization of the state of Israel, not the destruction of the state of Israel.
Quando ero di sinistra, giovane di sinistra, abbiamo accettato lo Stato di Israele, non eravamo contro lo Stato di Israele, però non per la giustificazione che questa è la terra promessa degli ebrei, perché per l'esilio, eccetera, eccetera, ma perché c'è stato creato uno Stato, c'è gente che è arrivata qua, esattamente come è successo in Australia, in Canada o negli Stati Uniti, gente che è arrivata da fuori e ha creato una nazione, ha creato una cultura, la cultura israeliana. Però questo non voleva dire accettare la definizione dello Stato come Stato zionista, ma come Stato israeliano che accetta la convivenza tra ebrei e arabi.
No, I don't think why the Palestinian has to pay what you, the European, did it. But the principle was, like with all other colonization that built societies, independent societies, that history has to accept it in some condition, to recompense, to recognize that it was the land of the Palestinian. Now, about the history. Josephus Flavius is my friend. He is with me, or I am with him. He never wrote about the exile. Now, we have to understand, and if we read Josephus Flavius, it's clear that it was a theological revolt. It wasn't a nationalist revolt. You understand? Mezzada was one of the battles of a sect, religious sect. This revolt was the most important first monotheistic revolt against the domination of the polytheism, Roman polytheism. Second revolt, it was 64-70. Second revolt, much more important, even if history is not writing a lot about it, is the revolt of the Jewish communities in the south of the Mediterranean. Cyrenaica, Libya, Cyprus, in Egypt. Jewish started to revolt against the domination, Roman domination, but it was a pure religious revolt. It's the first time that the monotheism, the first time in history, that monotheism decided to fight by arms against polytheism. That was translated politically, the Roman domination. The defeat of these three revolts, 64-70, 115, Egypt, Cyrenaica, Cyprus, in 132, again in Palestine, three revolts that the Roman crushed to stop the threat of monotheism. After this defeat, monotheism changed faces. He invented the New Testament in place of the epée, of the arm. They choose the love. I'm a little bit ironic. But the succeed of monotheism is changing the weapon, the arms. Christianity is a result of this defeat, military defeat, against polytheism. You understand me? The three revolts were not revolt of homeland, like Zionism in, all the specialists of the Jewish antiquity are from Jewish origin. Most of, I mean, 90% are from Jewish origin. I repeat, it was revolt, and we have to read again to convince you that it was a monotheistic revolt. A Mesada is a symbol of what? It was a pure sect, monotheistic resistance against Roman. It was defeated. This made birth two things. Nouveau Testament and the Mishnah in Talmud that was got birth in the same time as a new strategy against polytheism. And they succeeded. And after the Quran completed this work, you understand what I... Yeah. It's...
Prima di tutto voglio tornare a una frase che non ho tradotto prima. Parlava della Shoah, dell'Olocausto, quando dimenticato di fare questa cosa, e lui ha risposto a Kimbrat che perché i palestinesi dovrebbero pagare il conto di cose che sono state fatte dalle europee. Per quanto riguarda Giuseppe Flavio, in pratica dice lui vive con me o io vivo con lui, nel senso che seguo quello che dice, e gli risulta che in pratica le rivolte degli ebrei erano rivolte di tipo religioso monoteisti e non è di tipo nazionale, non è la gente della patria che difende la propria patria, ma è rivolta religiosa contro la presenza, contro il dominio dei romani. E per quanto riguarda Mazzada, dice che è stata una setta fanatica religiosa che ha fatto questa rivolta.
E poi delle tre rivolte sostanzialmente
defito,
però
lascia
il nuovo cristianesimo, le due strategie nuove,
push to the birth of the Christianity and the strategy of the new monotheist was completely different, and they won. They won in the Mediterranean, and after it in Europe. In the Mishnah and Talmud won the Judaism that developed with also a peaceful strategy, the two of them. In the book, I tried to convince in my thesis, I didn't start with this three revolt. There is one revolt before, a monotheistic one. I don't know if you heard about the Maccabean, Hashmonaim. You heard about a revolt?
Maccabee. Tel Aviv.
I was raised in a culture that presented the Maccabee revolt as a national revolt against the Hellenistic. All my life, songs.
Cresciuto in un ambiente, perché poi mi dimentico. Cresciuto in un ambiente che sostiene che in pratica la rivolta dei Maccabei è una rivolta nazionale. Sì.
And suddenly, when I started to sing, the second generation all has Hellenistic names. Orcanus. Aristobulus, I mean the leaders of this revolt, nationalistic, become all Hellenist.
Improvvisamente scopre che in pratica i nomi della seconda generazione di queste ribelle hanno nome Hellenist. Greci.
The birth of monotheism started with the meeting between Joabism, biblique of the Bible. The Bible is not Jewish. You know, you understand. It cannot be Jewish. For me, the Jewishness cannot be without the Talmud and the Mishnah. Now, the Bible, I call it Jehovist, the first step of the monotheism, very primitive and not completely monotheistic. The meeting between Jehovism, biblique, and the Hellenism, after Alexander the Great, gave birth to the proselytic monotheism that spread and conquered all the Western world. It's a little bit large for this hour.
Yes.
Huh? Too much.
Thank you.
Ci fermiamo. Andrò male.
I don't know if it interests you.
Thank you.
I don't.